Please be seated and take your Bibles and turn back with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, page 1219. 1 Peter chapter 4, page 1219. And let us ask the Lord to speak to us. Lord, we do need to hear your voice this morning. We need you to teach us, to rebuke us, to encourage us and challenge us. Open our hearts, we pray, to your mighty voice. In Jesus' name, help me now. Amen. Amen. Well, it was the night before Jesus died, and Peter had three chances to stand up for Jesus, to revere Jesus as Lord and see him as bigger than the pressure he was going to face, the pressure pressuring him to stand up for Christ and be counted. And you remember he denied Jesus once, twice, three times. Peter was a man who wrote our book, who knew what it was not to stand fast. And so, friends, he writes to us this morning as a forgiven failure to encourage us today. And these Christians he's writing to, who are facing a difficult time for following Jesus, to stand fast. Don't give up. Don't blend in. Don't be like a chameleon. Stand fast. Last week we had hedgehogs and rhinoceroses. This week, don't be like a chameleon. He tells us that clearly in chapter 5 and verse 12. Have a look. The purpose of this letter. Chapter 5, verse 12, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. How do you find that as a Christian? How do you find standing up for Jesus, sticking out for Jesus, standing fast on Jesus? Is it easy? Is it hard? Is it challenging? Now, my temperament naturally is just to blend in. I don't naturally like to stand out. Either I'm at the front a lot, I'm quite happy to sit in the pew and just keep my head down. I like to keep the peace. I like just to smile and keep pressing on. And there are times in life when it's wise to do that, but actually as Christians, there are times when we cannot do that. And Peter knew that was a temptation for these Christians he's writing to. He wants to encourage them to stand out and stand firm and not shrink back in the face of pressure to be like everybody else. And they were facing pressure. First, we see they were facing opposition. Opposition, mocked for being different. You see, the Christian that Peter writes to had had their lives changed and transformed by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus does that. The risen Jesus changes lives. There were amazing conversion stories. They'd lived lives like everybody else in their culture. Have a look at verse 3 of chapter 4. For you've spent enough time in the past, that is before becoming Christians, doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. That was the life of many of these Christians who'd come to know Jesus, but he changed them. That was their past. But not everyone liked the change. Can you see the opposition they are under? Old friends, colleagues, family don't like the new them. Verse 4, they are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Surprised. Come on. They mock them. They heap abuse on them. You were much more fun before you were a Christian. You could drink more than anyone. Come on, drink the night with us. Let's live like the old days. Come away for the weekend. Let's get smashed together. You've become so proud. You've got so many opinions and moral opinions. Relax, keep back, live a bit. Come and have a wild time with us. Your views are so outdated. You never used to be so dull. What do you mean you won't sleep around anymore? You always used to be up for that. You're just missing out. Not easy to be different. Not easy not to join in. Not easy to stand firm and stand out. Much easier to drift back into old patterns of living. And Peter knows that these Christians are under pressure, soft pressure, to conform, to be popular again, to be part of the crowd. And friends, that is true for every age and stage of life. It's not just an issue for young Christians or young people. There is peer pressure to behave like everyone around us, whatever our clubs or groups, or whatever families we belong to. Whether it's a school or at the bowls club or the book group or the office or the classroom or the sports club, the pressure to conform, to be chameleons, is huge as our holiness is mocked and opposed. Let's be honest. When people in the crowd say, "Why don't you just join in with us? Don't rock the boat," that is an attractive option. Just compromise, it won't matter. We'll think, well, if the abuse will stop, maybe I'll just fit in. It's very tempting to want to belong, to blend in. We might think, well, I haven't changed what I believe, but I might just change how I behave. Do you ever feel that pressure? That desire for the easy life? We love the easy life. I love the easy life. I love being accepted. I love being part of the crowd naturally. That's a real pressure, isn't it? That's the opposition these Christians are facing. As we face opposition or pressure from non-Christian family or friends or colleagues, what should our response be? We've had opposition and now response. Last week we heard the advice of Peter to respond to evil with blessing, because verse 15 of chapter 3, revere Christ as Lord. See him as bigger than any problem or any person, and that will strengthen you to do the right thing, to bless those who harm you. But in this week's passage, as we respond to the pressure of people's mockery and their call just to blend back in and join in, we're to follow Christ's example. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. Be armed with the same attitude as Jesus, the same mindset as Jesus. He knew that his mission would be costly, that it would feel hard, that it would involve suffering. And friends, if you're finding it hard and costly and it's causing suffering to follow Jesus, don't be surprised. That was the path that Jesus walked. Christ suffered in his body to save us. I wonder if you ever tried to think like somebody else, to have their mindset. My fabulous mother-in-law, I've known her for 28 years now. She's been consistent in her approach to dealing with North London rats and squirrels. She's had squirrels in her roof and rats under the skirting boards and deck. And what she does, she's told me many times, is she arms herself with the same mindset as the vermin. Think like a squirrel. She's been seen wandering around the house looking for each hole and each crevice they could get in, then blocking up every hole in the house to stop them. She's been thinking like a rat and a squirrel. She's been armed in a fight against the vermin of North London. And there's a lot of vermin in North London. Lots of gutters and tube stations and stuff like that. How do we get the Jesus mindset? How do we arm ourselves? What is the attitude of Jesus? Jesus knew it was hard. It would be costly to be falsely accused, to be mocked, to be be rejected, to be lied about, and to face the cross. It felt hard. Christ suffered in his body. Friends, don't be surprised that sometimes it feels really hard to go Jesus' way and not the way of the world. In your thinking, in your mindset, in your expectation, realize that to suffer physically or emotionally because you follow Jesus is not abnormal. To be the odd one out, to be made to feel different or strange, to face the scorn and the abuse of family or friends or neighbors. Why don't you just join in? You're so dull. To stand up and stand out will feel hard. It will cause us to feel suffering. And Jesus suffered. And he says if we follow him, we will face suffering. Expect it. Don't be surprised by it. When you're mocked or falsely accused for living a godly, holy life, which, friends, is the best life? Our world is a mess. God's ways are the best ways. They are glorious. They're beautiful. Jesus' truth is amazing. Don't be ashamed of it. But it'd be hard to follow Christ. Arm yourself with Jesus' attitude. Suffering now. Glory to come. Glory to come. Back in chapter 3, verse 18, that glorious gospel verse, it says, Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. How wonderful. He suffered, he died, he was made alive, and he rose again and ascended to glory. Whenever we baptize people, we always pray, don't we? We say, fight bravely against sin, the world, and the devil, and continue Christ's soldier to the end. We're in a fight. Don't be feel surprised if it feels hard. Don't be surprised if it feels hard to deal with your own sinful temptations and fight those. That's painful and hard. Don't be surprised if it feels hard to be different and to stand against people's abuse and scorn. It is hard. It's costly. Have a look at chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. We're going to get there in a few weeks, but look at what it says. It's this idea of the fight, the battle, this spiritual battle we're under. Peter writes, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. That's ferocious, isn't it? Looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The same kind of sufferings. The normal Christian life. Christians then, Christians now. It's a fight. What does that fight look like for some people? Well, there's amazing stories, aren't there? All around the world of Christians right now facing real persecution and loss and suffering. But here it might mean that we are ridiculed in the office because we will not wear that rainbow lanyard. Not that we're opposed to people from the LGBTI community, but we're not going to stand in that way. At university, I was just always the one they wanted to try and get drunk because I was the Christian. Let's get Steve Reese drunk. I never did, but the pressure was there. They would love to see me get drunk. Now, there's a Christian friend of mine at university, a lovely Christian girl, beautiful Christian girl, and the boys used to say of her, what a waste of a body, she will not sleep with us. Or maybe in your family, you're the only Christian. I remember when my cousin got saved and his mum and dad are not Christians. They were so ashamed. And they're so embarrassed to go to his wedding because at the front they had flowers that said Jesus. And all their friends were there and they were just embarrassed to their son. It's hard to feel an embarrassment to your parents for following Christ, isn't it? I heard of a child whose parent had paid for a top education. They grew up, went to top university, and they became a doctor. And they felt the Lord calling them to be a vicar, and their parents were just devastated. Why would you give up that career? Why all that money we've poured into you? What are you doing? Oh, that feels hard. I give you example after example of how costly and painful it is to go God's way, to face the ridicule and mockery of those around us and our family's disappointments. But friends, forewarned is forearmed. Don't be surprised If following Jesus feels hard right now and costly, there's suffering involved, that you're made to feel odd or not in the in crowd, in your family or at work or your club. Opposition. Response. Same attitude as Jesus. And thirdly and finally, perspective. That's where Peter goes next. Perspective. Peter helps us to see why it's so worth the fight. Why it's so worth sticking out as being a good thumb in the face of a secular world and friends. He reminds us of our Christian confidence in the face of wanting to blend in to avoid being different. We need to remember the ultimate realities. There are two destinies that everyone will face in this life. Eternal judgment or eternal salvation. Look at verse 5, it's so sobering. All these people who reject Christ in verse 4 are calling believers back into an ungodly lifestyle. What will happen to them? Verse 5, they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. They'll have to stand before Jesus one day. The Jesus who they rejected. The Jesus who they mocked. And they will face his verdict. And it will be devastating. It'll be death and judgment and an eternity with not with him. An eternity of suffering and punishment, which is a terrible, terrible thought. But to follow Christ is glorious and it is the way to life. Judgment is coming. And those who reject Jesus, who delight in sin, who mock his people, will face the horrors of death and judgment and eternity in hell. That is sobering. That is terrifying. Why would you ever want that? So Peter writes, verse 6, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so they may be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. A little phrase in verse 6, the beginning has caused lots of confusion for many people. It says, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. Don't get confused here. Some people have thought this was teaching the Catholic doctrine, the wrong doctrine, of purgatory, that there's a chance to hear the gospel once you've died, but you can't base a doctrine on one verse. But the whole of Scripture says that actually now is a day of salvation, now is a time to respond. Once you've died and faced judgment, it is too late. Peter's not saying that. It's not what the whole Bible says. But even though they've been mocked and ridiculed, people who have died have heard the gospel. So those, this is talking about the Christian here, verse 6. The gospel was preached, even those who are now dead are in glory, the believer. They've heard the gospel in this life. And what does that do? Well, they might not be judged according to human standards in regard to the body. These Christians who've been mocked and judged by people and said, you're ridiculous, the crazy life you lead, you're wasting your time. Judged by human standards. That won't count a thing. No, they will be judged by the Lord. And they will live according to God in regard to the Spirit. They get a new life, an eternal life. A new birth that lasts forever. What matters is what's according to God. His verdict, his judgment. About our spiritual lives, the people we are, those who've trusted in Christ, will be saved and rescued for heaven. See, through faith in Jesus, we may be judged, we may be mocked by the world, but we will be vindicated and raised to new life in the Spirit. And until then, let's arm ourselves to be like Jesus for our blessing and Jesus' glory, and maybe to lead others to life and new life in him. A few weeks ago, we had a baptism of a young man, 18 years old. And he'd spent many years at secondary school mocking the Christian kids in our church for their faith. He'd given them such a hard time. He'd mocked them, he'd mocked them, he'd mocked them, he made their life a misery. And these three Christian kids, who are now in sixth form, prayed for him. They prayed for him, they prayed for him, they prayed for him. And suddenly, he realized there was a difference in them. Even though he mocked them for all their beliefs and their thinking, he recognized there was something beautiful about them. And he began coming to church. one of them had a phone call saying, can I start coming to church? And the guy almost fell off his chair thinking, you've been mocking us for the last 5 years of school. Why would you want to come to church? And he came to evening service the last 2 years. He's become a Christian. He's baptized. A mocker was saved. Isn't that great? It's never the end of the story, friends. Let's pray for those who mock, that the Lord might have mercy on them and save them, that they might join us in glory. Hey, a reality check this morning, isn't it? Opposition will be real. Our response, be like Jesus. Fight sin. Recognize it'll feel hard. It'll feel like suffering at times. Why? Because it's worth it. What a joy to know Christ. And what a glorious future. On the last day, we will be saved. We'll be given life. And God's verdict will be what matters. Not this world's. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's just so real. We know this huge pressure inside just to blend in and believe what others believe and live like others, just to be accepted and have the easy life. Father, forgive us for losing sight of the glory of living the godly, holy life. Thank you for the reality check that it will feel hard. Christ's path meant he suffered in his body, and we will face suffering too. But help us to be armed with the same mindset of Christ. Lord, to live with that eternal perspective, to stand firm and to pray for those who oppose us. We might see many more like this young guy coming to know Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.